LBC 97.3. This is London's biggest conversation with Ian Dale.
It's 11 minutes to 9 here on LBC 97.3. Coming up at 9, it's the Bupa Wellbeing Hour. Dr. Rob Hicks will be joining us this week to answer all your medical questions. Now, let's go back to your calls. We're talking about grief in this hour and how we cope with grief in the long term, or sometimes how we don't cope. We've had some incredibly emotional calls this hour, I think you'll agree. I'm feeling quite emotional myself. Let's go to John in Southend. Hello, John.
Hi, Ian. This is probably mainly addressed to you, but hopefully it helps other people. I'm coming up to 70 years of age. My mother died about 36 years ago when she was 54. The level of grief, nobody can escape. We all have to deal with it in life. That's a fact of life. The difficulty is dealing with it. You mentioned something a little earlier, that you have your mother's photograph on display. Now, I found when I had these things around me, that was dragging me down. That was drawing me to a point. My mother is with me in my mind, in my life, and she will never leave me. I don't need to be reminded on a constant level when I'm trying to get my life back together. And the only thing that did it for me was I had to make sure that I may do the best I can for my life, with my life, and obviously other people have died since then, to make sure that my contact with them and my love that my mother had for me and my guidance wasn't wasted. And I live her life, and I make sure I achieve the best I can in memory for her. And if I fail, that drags me down. And I feel good every day knowing that I've done that through my mother. And I think when people have all these things that they're hanging on to, that link, they're hanging on to the memory through icons, I don't think that is healthy, personally.
Well, John, I think you speak a lot of sense. I guess it's different for everybody. I mean, how would I feel if I now took my mother's picture away? I would feel...
You'd feel bad, but the point is that there are moments in the day that you will be driving around. You gave a classic example that it hits you at the most unexpected times, and there are times when you feel great. The memory is never gone from you, but there are other moments of the day when you feel low and moments when you've missed them and circumstances where you miss them. So you don't need to actually put props around to make you miss them more, because you have to deal with your own life, because they are not around anymore. We have to face the reality that that's what life is about. Things do happen. We're not the only people that it's happened to. It happens to every single individual that has to deal with it. So therefore, we have to make sure we protect ourselves so we can progress in our life for the sake and the memory of those people.
John, fantastic call. Thank you very much indeed. Nigel is in London Coney. Hello, Nigel.
Hello there. Three cheers to the previous chap. Some good stuff there. I'm not particularly talking about your mother, but did you expect her to die when she did, or was it sudden?
We had sort of a couple of weeks, I suppose, where we knew that the end was going to.
So it's quite a short period of time.
Yeah.
Because my folks are, my father died 14 years ago, and I'd got used to him, if you like, falling to bits, for want of a better word, and grieved for each bit as it fell. And so when the end came, I was kind of ready for it. But I'll tell you what I wish I'd done more with my dad.
Can you ever be ready for it, to be honest?
Well, I think, like your previous caller said, that's life. Life comes and goes, and you are the sum total of your mother and father. And you carry on. But, you know, it's a bit of a shock if someone dies rather before their time, like a bit young, if they have a tragic death or an illness sets about them at an early age. It's very difficult to cope with. But with your mum, you know, she's had her life, and it's what it was. And you were the sum total of her life, along with perhaps you have siblings, I don't know. And celebrate her. I don't know. I mean, I'm not a religious man at all. A lot of people get a lot of kind of comfort from perhaps believing they're kind of watching over you, and it's a one way phone call. But
I think you're right, and that was why when we put a lot of thought into the funeral, because my mother hated going to funerals, absolutely hated it. So we didn't have a hearse. This is going to sound really weird, but we had a cart where the pallbearers pulled the cart with a coffin on top. The whole service was arranged so that had she still been alive, she would have enjoyed it. And that was, in a way, where I've got two sisters. That was how sort of the three of us I suppose, coped with it, because we wanted to do something that we thought she would have liked. I booked a sort of gravesite sort of under a tree, which I knew she would have liked. And
but there you are. You were being your mum for your mum, weren't you?
Yeah.
Between you.
Yeah.
Hey, chin up. She had a good life. And she's proud of you. Carry on.
Okay, Nigel, thank you very much.
Okay, bye-bye.
Let's go to David in Finsbury Square. Hi, David.
Hello, Ian. I can hear you choking up. Ian, for a start, I hope you and your family have a better year next year than this year. In my own case, approximately 14 years ago, I lost both my parents 4 months apart. Both passed away fairly quickly. In my case, yes, I still grieve. And will continue to grieve for the rest of my days. But further to the previous caller, I do have pictures around the house, and I deal with it by talking to them, laughing with them, talking to the family with them, and also, as I said to your producer, there's a poem that I often read that gives me a lot of comfort and satisfaction. And that poem, I'm sure it'll be on the internet, the poem is called Death is Nothing at All, and it's written by someone called Henry J. Holland. And I think if you can find that and read it, I hope it will give you and other people some kind of comfort.
Well, I think I'm familiar with that poem, to be honest. Can you remember any of it, David?
It says about, basically about, keep talking to them, they're in the next room, have no secrets from them, laugh with them, and keep their memory alive.
Well, David, thank you very much indeed. I've got an email here from Jen, who, after the last couple of minutes, I'm not sure whether I should read this out, but it says, Ian, you're handling these distressed, bereaved callers very sensitively. I say this from my perspective as a mental health professional working mainly with bereaved people. I'm most impressed, really. Well, it's a very difficult subject, and we all have very different reactions to it. I was determined not to get emotional tonight, but with some of the calls that we've had, I suppose it's forgivable. Dr. Rob Hicks has joined me a little bit early in the studio, I think in case he felt he had to take over. But Rob, the reaction, I don't know how many of the calls you've heard in this hour, but they've been very, very emotional. I think they've had a lot of effect on our audience. It's certainly had a big effect on me, as you can probably see. Is this normal?
I think it is normal. I think what's important about all the calls we've had is they've highlighted actually that grief around loss is a normal emotion, and it's an emotion that often we don't talk about. And the whole concept of you talking about it and our listeners talking about it, I know will have a knock-on effect of helping a huge number of people who maybe have been seeking permission to actually talk to somebody, whether it's a friend or a member of the family or their doctor or their nurse or you know, even the news agent, about how they're feeling. And you just said something which is really interesting. I think you apologised for being emotional, and I think this is such a negative thing.
Well,
because I actually
never apologize for being emotional, but I mean, I am here to present a radio show. I'm not here to sort of crack up and sort of all the rest of it.
But what you've done is you've demonstrated in a very sensitive way the way that you feel, and that will have helped loads of people. I mean, I've listened to our, you know, some of the callers earlier on, their experiences, you know, they tug at the heartstrings. Yeah. You know, they bring a lump to the throat, and I'm sure that simply talking to you, to the other listeners, will have helped them as individuals. But the message I have to people is, you know, you should not feel guilty about the way that you feel, and if ever you feel that things are out of control, then you should not feel guilty about asking for help. We're too good in the UK at, you know, at the old stiff upper lip thing and pull yourself together, and that's nonsense. We actually need, you know, support for during particularly, you know, bereavement times, and there's no shame in asking for that.
I should say that if you remember the call from Emily, a very emotional call earlier on, her former GP has called in and she's getting her surgery to contact Emily. Now, if you've been affected by the issues that we've covered over the last 40 minutes, do visit the Grief Encounter website, griefencounter.org.uk. There are lots of other people that are there to help too. Cruise is certainly another organisation that we can highly recommend. It has been an emotional 40 minutes. I'm not sure the next hour is going to be quite as emotional, but you never know. Anything can happen in the Bupa Wellbeing Hour, and normally does. Dr. Rob Hicks, as you've heard, is here. He's going to be taking your calls over the next 60 minutes. I mean, if you want to phone in about grief, you can feel free to consult Dr. Rob over the next 60 minutes too. But frankly, feel free to call in on any medical subject that you like. The number to call, 0845 6060 973. The lines are open now. You will get through. You can text your question to 84850 or email ian@lbc.co.uk. Now we'll have that group hug, shall we?